Gabriel Hodder of Primal Fear. You're listening to the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast.
I'm the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. My style still the precious and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus. The paper is still the gold. Not for $1 million will I sell my soul. Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast. This is the newest and most exciting interview episode series on Rumble. Guys, before anything, this show is brought to you by Catering with Grace. You guys go follow on Facebook. Like, share, follow, whatever you guys got to do on Rumble, on dayonevibes.com, and on Facebook. Okay, guys, today on this interview episode, we got with us Gabriel Hodder out of New Jersey. Gabriel Hodder, say what's up to the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast Nation.
Yo, what's going on, man? How you doing? I'm excited to be on.
What's up, Gabriel? Hey, we just want to have a little conversation with you. We just want to talk a little bit about, you know, a whole bunch of things. We got questions written out here for you, and, you know, we just want to hear a little bit about your story and let our followers, supporters, listeners hear a little bit about your story.
Yeah, man.
First question is, why wrestling? What is it about wrestling that made you go into that sport?
Man, wrestling is really, you know, I grew up in a family where, I was the youngest, I was the baby of the family, and it just so happened that, you know, I was born into a wrestling family. I was 2 years old, I think, at WrestleMania when it was in Philly. Like, I was in the crowd for that. Yeah, like, my uncle tells a story about, like, you know, me being, like, 10 months old and, like, elbow dropping him off the couch.
Okay.
I just kind of grew up with it, man. When I was 5 years old, I had my 5th birthday party at the Monster Factory, which is where I ended up going to train to be a wrestler 14 years later.
So, is there a favorite wrestler? Is there somebody who inspired you to go into this profession?
My favorites have always been, you know, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, guys like that.
The Mount Rushmore.
It's about my time frame, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, same here. Actually, I'm early 2000s. I think when I started watching, it was about 2002.
Okay, that was a great time.
Yes, sir. It was a great time. Tell us a little bit about your experience. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been wrestling, what you know, a little bit about what you've been through, where you train.
Yeah, so I've been training now for about 7 years. I was supposed to go play college football. I ended up not doing that. I came home from school and I decided to enroll in wrestling school. So I ended up at the Monster Factory, which was about 20 to 30 minutes from where I was living at in New Jersey. Actually, a kid who he's in AEW now, Nick Camarado, he went to the same high school as me. I knew him from high school, and he's the one, like, I saw him training at the Monster Factory, and I was like, well, if Nick, who I went to school with, can be a wrestler, like, I can be a wrestler, too.
Yeah.
And, like, I went, and, you know, like, he made it, like, seeing someone that you know do it makes it not seem so outlandish.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Isn't that what we all want? We just want to see somebody that we know do it, that way it's like, I could do that, too.
Yeah, that's really, you know, this kid's no different than me, you know, except Nick is about 100 pounds heavier than me and 6 inches taller than me, but, you know, we were from the same neighborhood, we went to the same high school, like, it was cool seeing that.
Nice. So, that being said, tell us a little, tell us what is your stature, height and weight?
Right now, I'm about 5'11". I tell people I'm 6'1 in my wrestling boots.
Hey.
I'm anywhere from like 200 to 210 pounds, given on, you know, how my diet's looking that week.
Okay, so you're 6'1, 205.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so what would you say is Gabriel Hodder's style in the ring?
Man, gotten into it yet, but I'm a part of a trio, you know, six-man tag, whatever. Like, there's different words for it, but I call us a trio. We are Primal Fear. But out of that group, and, you know, me, I'm the brawler. You know, I don't really try to do anything too fancy. I just like to go in there and punch and kick people.
That's my favorite. I'm not going to lie. As a kid, I was like, I wanted to see a bunch of people flying around and doing a whole bunch of, like, athletic stuff. And now as I get older and I'm watching, I'm like, you know, I kind of like that dude that's just throwing people around and, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, right? Kind of coming in and punching and kicking, you know.
Yeah.
I try to use some of my football stuff, some of my old kickboxing, but.
What position did you play in football?
So even though I'm not that big now, I was a big boy. I was a defensive tackle.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was anywhere from 275 to 290 in my
life. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, so you're like a Happy Corbin. You're like a Happy Corbin type of, like, you know, you're like in that little area right now, how he transitioned, went from, I think Pat McAfee was talking about it on his show earlier that I was listening. He went from being 300 pounds, I think, back when he was with the Indianapolis Colts, and now he's, you know, you could probably imagine 260, somewhere around there.
I think Corbin was like a tight end when he was in the NFL.
A tight end?
I believe.
I thought he was an offensive lineman.
Maybe he was.
I believe he was an offensive lineman. Yeah, only because I heard it this morning. That's the only way I know.
You know, I knew he was on the Colts, too. I knew he was a player.
Do you watch the WWE? Do you watch AEW?
I keep my pulse on everything. I don't watch as much as I used to just because, as it falls right now, Monday nights are nights where I'm training wrestling. So, you know, I kind of miss out on Raw. Once you're in the business, it's a little bit harder to keep up with it, but I'm definitely still a fan. I definitely still follow everything that goes on.
Okay, do you have any favorite wrestlers, or I should say, is there anybody that stands out to you and that you model your game after in the WWE right now?
Ooh. I don't know about anyone that I exactly model myself after, but I mean, I definitely got favorites. I think what Roman Reigns is doing right now is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think he's the best wrestler in the world right now on all levels.
I agree.
I watch everything Damian Priest does, but that's just because he was my trainer. I feel obligated to, you know, support someone who has given me so much.
Okay. Don't just slide that in there and expect to expect me to move on. Tell me about that. Damian Priest, yeah, just recently, for the people who don't know, Damian Priest just got to the main roster, I believe, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, he's pretty new on the main roster, and then he was in NXT for a while before that.
So tell us about training under Damian Priest, WWE superstar.
So when I broke in at the Monster Factory, it was 2015 or 16. At the time, he was Punishment Martinez.
Oh, cool. I heard that name.
Yeah, and he was just getting his break in Ring of Honor when I first broke in, and then after training there for about a year, after a couple months of training, you know, I was doing this generic, no gimmick, you know, wrestler guy that I wore white boots and black tights that looked like Triple H's old tights because I wanted to be a Triple H.
Shout out.
You know, I had no character, none. And it was actually his idea. He grabbed me one day at training, and there was already this group called Primal Fear. And there was three other members at the time, and he was like, yo, how would you feel if we put you in Primal Fear? Like, I know you have a good relationship with them. Like, I think you would fit good with them. It would give you a character, give you something to work with. And, you know, me, at the time, especially coming from someone like him, I was going to take any opportunity I was given. So I was all about it. And then, so after I was in Primal Fear for a little bit, one day he came up to us and he told us, hey, I'm going to start a new group on the indies, and you guys are going to be like my minion.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. So like, I was wrestling for a little over a year at a time, and I got put in a position where, you know, I was on shows with him, and he was in Ring of Honor, so we were getting put in these 20 to 25-minute matches, you know?
Oh, man.
So I was kind of, you know, thrown to the fire, and it was really, I had to pick it up fast because I was tossed right to the fire, man.
And
I had no choice.
And 20, 25 minutes, like, that's not, that's like pay-per-view matches, right?
Yeah, and like, you know, that's what we were doing, like, these 8-man tag matches.
Really
complex and really, you know, they were complicated. I would love to go back and watch some of them now. They would probably still hold up, you know.
Yeah.
Still think they were good today, and that was me wrestling, like I said, about it, 1 year in, and that's all credit to him. Because he was just orchestrating everything that was going on.
Is there anywhere that we could find those videos? We could watch them?
I don't know if there's any matches. If you go to the Monster Factory YouTube, and if you scroll back enough, there might be some promos that we did with him.
Okay. That'll be cool. I'll go do that homework. That's homework for tonight.
Yeah, man, you know, it was awesome. Like, it was a learning experience, you know. Now, looking at where he's at now, I mean, I never had any doubt in the world that he was going to be in the position he is now, you know. Even me being so young in the business, just being in the ring with him, you could feel that it was special, you know. He's someone special.
Wow.
And it was unbelievable to get to learn from him. I was also trained by QT Marshall, who's doing pretty well for himself.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Yeah, I know who QT Marshall is. That's cool, man. I want to ask more about Primal Fear. I want you to tell us about your stable. Tell us about you know, the other members of it, and kind of what direction you guys are heading. What you guys are involved in right now.
It consists of myself, Gabriel Hodder, Matthew Omen, and Adrian Soriano. We were a trio, you know, in the New Jersey Independence for a while. We were lucky enough to get accepted into the Ring of Honor Dojo. We were lucky enough to do some work with Ring of Honor until, unfortunately, they closed their door due to COVID. But, I mean, we had some awesome experiences there. We got to wrestle Mexa Squad, so we got to be in the ring with Bandito and Bright Horse and Flamita. We got to wrestle Shane Taylor Promotions for the ROH Six-Man World Tag Team Championships, which was awesome. That was my first match ever being on television, and that's still to this day one of my favorite matches.
You were on TV? Ring of Honor, you said?
Ring of Honor, yeah, we did. Nice. We've had a few matches for them. Mostly their YouTube stuff, but our world title match was the television.
Man, that's perfect that you bring that up, because my next question was gonna be, tell us about some memorable moments in your career. You said you've been wrestling for 7 years now.
Yeah.
Tell us about some memorable moments, memorable matches, anything, any of those moments that make you think back and say these are so far have been the highlights of my career.
Yeah, matches-wise, definitely, like I said, that six-man tag for the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Championships, that was unbelievable. You know, especially, not only is it my first match for a major company championship, but it's my first match on television, too. You know, like, that's really cool.
Hell yeah.
Match in the Manhattan Center at Hammerstein Ballroom, that was unbelievable. Especially growing up, being an ECW fan, you know, watching ECW One Night Stand and all that.
Definitely.
Like, man, crazy. Like, I got to be where these guys were.
That's wild. So, can we find that Ring of Honor still, like, on their YouTube or something? I know I keep asking that, but if anybody wants to see it, that's pretty crazy that you're...
Everything from Ring of Honor should still be on YouTube. Primal Fear, we have our own YouTube channel. We got a ton of content on there you guys can check out.
Perfect.
I didn't get to wrestle, but the G1 Supercard from Madison Square Garden, I got to be a part of Kelly Klein's entrance there. So, you know, just standing in the ring in Madison Square Garden with 20,000 people around you, that was something I'll never forget. That was unbelievable.
Talk about the electricity that goes through an arena like that, in a moment like such where there's 20,000 people just screaming. Like, can you even describe that?
I mean, it's honestly just talking about it with you right now, I just got goosebumps thinking about it.
I think that's the perfect definition.
Yeah, man. I remember telling myself, you know, right before we go out, hey, take a minute to just look around and to take in, dude, you're in Madison Square Garden. This is, you know, there's signs all over to say the most famous arena in the world, but, it really is the most famous arena in the world. And I got to, you know, I didn't get to wrestle in it, but I got to perform in it, you know? That's yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, I want to know, Gabriel Hodder, what are your goals when it comes to wrestling, when it comes to being a professional wrestler? What is it that you aspire to accomplish, whether it be in ring or out of ring or both?
Man, from a professional standpoint, you know, I want to be successful enough to make a living wrestling full time, you know?
Of course.
At one point, I thought I was pretty close to that with Ring of Honor. We were getting used pretty frequently. Unfortunately, you know, everything happened there with COVID and the shutdown. But now, man, AEW bought it, so who knows what the future can hold. But from a wrestling point of view, man, I want us to be the team that really gets trio wrestling. You know, I want us to be the FTR of six-man tag wrestling.
And I know there's tremblings of that happening, right? I mean, I know there's tremblings of the six-man tag team scene even opening up onto AEW TV and stuff, yeah, like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the rumors, you know. I read all the rumors online just like everyone else. I wait every week for them to debut them six-man titles.
Me too. Ever since I saw that one Bleacher Report, I was like, I'm still waiting. So,
yeah, man.
So that's what Primal Fear's goal is to reinvent? What would you even call it? Establish?
I think in Japan, Mexico, America, Canada. I want us to be the face of six-man tag wrestling. And I don't feel like there's a team right now that can say that. They are.
So tell us.
New Day, maybe, but I mean, they're not exclusively six-man tag wrestlers.
Yeah, not anymore. They're not even in that stable anymore. Of the whole three. So when you talk about wanting to establish the six-man tag team scene, ideally, what do you see for y'all's future? What kind of what stories are y'all in that make you feel like, hey, I think we made it? You know what I'm saying? We're doing it.
Man, we're just really starting to get some recognition right now up in the Northeast. As you know, we've been getting on some pretty big shows around here. Our names are getting tossed around at some of the tag teams. Me and Matthew Omen have been the super crazy tag team champions for over a year now. We've been undefeated. Adrian Soriano is the super crazy live champion. He's been that for a few months. We were just the Rise tag team champions. I mean, everywhere we go, man, we're winning championships. That's what we want to do. We want to come in and dominate.
I love it. If you could use this platform right now to give some advice to, because 7 years is 7 years in any business, okay? So, experience is experience. If you could give advice to somebody who started yesterday and is, you know what I mean, needs some encouragement or just needs some words of wisdom or advice, what would you tell that young kid aspiring to be in the position that you're in the sense of, you know, fighting on TV and doing these things that you're doing?
Man, hard mentally. It's hard emotionally. You're gonna miss out on a lot of things. You know, you're gonna miss friends' birthdays and stuff like that. But man, when you hit it and you're out there and you're having a match and you know you're killing it and everything is going the right way and you have that crowd biting on everything you're doing, there's nothing else in the world that can compare to it. So I would say, no matter what, if this is what you love and this is what you want to do, you got to just keep pushing. You know, there's going to be days where you want to quit. There's going to be days where you think it's useless and you're doing everything for nothing, but you got to just push through, man, and it's all going to pay off one day.
Talk about what it takes to, because by no means is the path that I'm taking with, you know, the podcast and the things that I do, by no means are they conventional. Talk about what it takes or what it is about Gabriel Hodder that gets you to get up every morning and want to go through those spurts of doubt and, you know, not knowing what's coming next. What is it that drives you?
I think just a love for performing.
I like that. You know? I like that.
Yeah. It's
being an entertainer?
Yeah, man. It's really, you know, I was always like the class clown.
Okay. Okay. You know, something that comes natural to you.
Yeah. I always just center of attention. It's just something that I feel like kind of inclined to do.
And that's good, because isn't that half the battle to be a WWE superstar, to be a wrestling superstar, personality?
Yeah, it's the hardest part for a lot of people. It's hard for me sometimes, you know. It can be nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I imagine. So is that a position that you say that you would thrive in, being in that moment, in that spotlight, whether it be delivering a promo, whether it be a big spot, whether it be big match? Is that something you say that you would consider yourself as a moment you thrive in?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's what we dream about, man.
I tell
people, you know, I say it all the time, the biggest regret of our Ring of Honor run, I think we had 6 or 7 matches, and they were all during COVID, so none of them were in front of fans.
Oh, man.
So, like, you know, I feel like a little bit, like, it's a cool story to be like, oh, I wrestled during, like, the COVID era. But also, like, I feel like I was deprived of, like, that fan experience, you know?
For sure.
And that's something I'm striving to get back for, and I know we're going to get back for. You know, we've done a few things with AEW on Dark, and we've been to Orlando for Dark Elevation. That's something that was really cool. Getting to wrestle at Universal Studios, you know, especially as a kid, you know, growing up in a Disney family that went to Universal like once a year to be able to wrestle, that was really, really cool.
Man, that's cool. So talk a little bit about those experiences, performing on AEW Dark. For everybody who doesn't know who that is, that's AEW's, what is it, their Dark shows, their YouTube shows?
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Talk a little bit about that. Who'd you fight? How many times have you been on there?
So we've officially been on AEW Dark twice. The first time, I wasn't involved in the match, but it was my two other partners, Matthew Omen and Adrian Soriano versus Santana and Ortiz. But it was in Philly. Like I said, you know, since QT was our trainer and I have a relationship with him, I asked him if it would be cool if I could go out to the ring with them too. And he said, yeah, you know, it's no big deal. And that's something that, you know, whether he realizes or not, I thought that was really cool of him, and I always appreciate that he looked out for me like that. But that was the first time we performed for AEW. And then about a month later, we flew down to Orlando to wrestle at the for their AEW Dark tapings, and that was in Universal Studios at at the old TNA building where they used to film TNA at. So that was really cool. There it was, we had a six-man tag against 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, which obviously now they're a part of the Jericho Appreciation Society.
Yeah.
So they're doing really big things.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago when, you know, they were working us on AEW Dark.
So obviously you guys are taking steps in the right direction. Do you feel like you guys are picking up momentum as you guys are going? As you said, there was the whole, you know, COVID thing where, you know, you mentioned you lost a little bit of momentum in that area. I mean, in that era. But do you guys feel like you're picking back up momentum? How do you feel about where you guys are right now?
Yeah, I mean, the one positive thing I can say about us is, you know, if we had a bar graph of our career throughout the years, we're going uphill every year, you know, like, we haven't had a downhill. This, by far, has been our most successful year. We obviously lost our major platform in Ring of Honor, but we are working, you know, almost every weekend we're booked, multiple shows a weekend, like, we've been all over this year. This is by far the biggest year of our career, and I know next year it's going to be even bigger, and the year after that is going to be bigger, and it's just going to continue to grow.
Nice. You in Primal Fear, you guys get done with a training session. One of your phones rings. It's Vince McMahon on the other line. He tells you to come in. He wants to have a sit down with you guys. You guys sit down with him. He hands you a blank sheet of paper. He says, script me your dream six-man tag match. Your dream match and the stipulation and where it takes place. Tell me a little bit about that.
Man, my dream six-man tag. Right now, like a one that I could realistically happen would be by far us with Roman Reigns and the Usos. I think the Usos are the best tag team in the world. I love tag team wrestling. Obviously, I always have. It's always been my favorite. I think the Usos are unbelievable. So, you know, the Usos and Roman Reigns would be by far definitely a dream match.
That'd be a fire match. That'd be a banger.
Yeah. personally, though, for me, I would have to go with the Wyatt family.
Ooh.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt was my favorite wrestler. I credit him for getting me back into wrestling when I was in high school.
Shout out.
Yeah, around, like, 2013, I guess. You know, the Wyatts, the Shield, and CM Punk is, like, I heard people talking about it. And I was like, wow, like, it sounds like some cool stuff's going on in wrestling again. And, like, that really revitalized my love for wrestling again. Watching WrestleMania 30 was, like, the first wrestling pay-per-view I watched in probably 6 years. But, yeah, I would definitely say the Wyatt family or the Shield, you know?
Hey, top three picks, that's even better than what I asked for. So... If you want to do it like this, what would the stipulation for each of those matches be?
Oh, I really like street fights. They're my favorite kind of match to take part in. So I would do a street fight, and then if I had to pick another one, I would do a ladder match. But I've only done one ladder match, and I didn't win, so my odds aren't too good.
So against the Wyatt family, it would have to be like a pretty crazy stipulation, right?
Yeah, man, I would do one of the swamp fight, the hardcore swamp fight, like the New Day did with them.
So cinematic, yeah, or?
I want to do a cinematic match.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be cool. Those are perfect answers. Tell us a little bit, or actually, before I get to that, tell us your finisher. What is Gabriel Hodder's finishing move?
Me by myself, I don't really have one.
Oh, y'all got tag team finishers.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Tag finishers are where it's at.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear it.
We got a new one me and Matthew Omen have been doing. It's kind of like the magic killer, but it's a little different. I hold the guy like a power slam. And he grabs his knees, and we kind of jump and turn and dump the guy on their back. So that's one we're doing now. We're also doing double V triggers, one from the front, one from the back, like the Kenny Omega one.
Nice.
And then our six-man tag finish, which I'll go on record right now and say has never been kicked out of, and never will be, is a double flapjack, and then I'm in the back, and I do an X-Factor.
It's never been kicked out of before?
That's never been kicked out.
Is that the game winner?
If that's a hit, it's game over.
Okay.
Never kicked out.
Yeah. So is that the move that you guys would hit on the Bloodline, the Wyatt family?
That's what Roman D is.
That's gonna get him his first pin in over 2 years.
Yeah, 600 days or whatever it is.
That is insane. What do you think about? I mean, you said he's the greatest in the world, but like. It's been a while since we've seen a title run like Roman Reigns. What did you say? Over 600 days?
Yeah, I think it's something wild like that. I think it's great, man. I think it, like you said, it's been so long since it's been done. I think it's cool. I think it adds some credibility to the term being a champion, you know?
Like, hell yeah. I agree.
Whoever beats him is a star overnight, you know?
That being said, the youngest United States champion in WWE history, the youngest Money in the Bank winner in WWE history, Theory. What are your thoughts on Theory? I know you said you try to keep up, but have you heard about Theory? Have you seen the...
I do. I can't say a ton about him, but I thought his match with Pat McAfee at WrestleMania was unbelievable.
It was a classic, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome, man. I love Pat McAfee. I think he's unbelievable, too. But
shout out.
That match, Austin Theory, man, I thought that match was unbelievable. Both of them absolutely killed it.
Every single component of it, everything about it was just, it was absolutely done, executed perfectly. Stone Cold, Vince McMahon, Austin Theory, like Pat McAfee, shout out to all of them because... I think honestly, low key, that might have been like match of the night, if not match of both nights.
Yeah, I think it might have been Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn was.
Oh, really, you're right. That was a great one. And it's crazy because both of those I think will be remembered for a long time.
Oh, definitely.
Along with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, which I almost forgot about, didn't forget about, but. I can't choose between Seth Rollins and Cody and the other ones that we were just talking about. But I enjoy what's going on in the WWE right now. I know they catch a lot of flack online, stuff like that, but I enjoy watching it for what it is, sports entertainment.
Yeah, man, I think a lot of people online sometimes look for things to be angry about when, like you said, you gotta just enjoy it for what it is, you know?
A movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's a movie.
We're gonna be following you. We're gonna be following you, the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast. We are gonna be witnessing Primal Fear, Gabriel Hodder. We appreciate you for coming on the podcast. It's not over yet, but we're coming up on the last couple questions of the interview. So I just wanted to let you know, man, that we appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you giving us your time because I imagine you're a busy man. You got a lot of things to do. So you giving us your time, it means a lot to us.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. I'm always down for a good conversation.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. And definitely let, you know, the other members of Primal Fear know about us as well, and hey, we can always get you guys on here at the same time, you know, that'll be cool too.
Yeah, that's usually how we go about them. They can be a little chaotic, but it's a good time getting all three of our inputs on, you know, hearing different points of view.
Hell yeah, that'll be the first time that I would have ever interviewed a three-person team or three people at one time, so we'll be making history with that. But yeah, tell us about how can people find you? How can people find you on social media? If you wanna plug your social media, plug anything that you're involved with.
Alright, so I'm lucky enough that I have the same handle for everything. My Twitter, my Instagram, my TikTok.
Smart move.
Fear, FEAR _ Gabriel 13. Primal Fear. We have a YouTube channel where we have a weekly vlog that we post. We got matches on there. We got match highlights on there. Primal Fear and myself both have What a Maneuver t-shirt stores. So there's What a Maneuver, Primal Fear. Then there's What a Maneuver / Gabriel Hodder. Make sure to check them out. Get yourself some t-shirts. Yeah, I think that's about it for the socials.
Nice. Okay. Well, it turns out that I did run through all the questions. I thought I had a couple more here for you, but it is the end of the interview. Basically, at the end of every interview, what I like to do is I like to give the platform to whoever it is that I interview and allow them to say what they want to say, say whatever it is that they feel, anything they want to get off their chest, plug, promote, whatever you need to do. The platform, the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, is now yours.
All right, what up, everybody? Listen, I'm going to give you advice right now. Whatever it is that you want to do in your life, if you feel like you're unhappy with what you're doing currently, or if there's something you always wanted to go for, this is me telling you right now to go for it, man. Take the chance. You know, jump off the ledge, shoot your shot. The hardest thing to do is to get started, but if you got a dream that you're trying to get done, get started today.
We appreciate you, Mr. Gabriel Hodder. Shout out to Primal Fear. As I said earlier, we're going to be following you. We appreciate you giving us your time. We hope this isn't the last time that you hear from you guys. We hope to be in contact in the future, because as I said, we appreciate you guys. And I feel like we just made a friend in one of the members of Primal Fear, Gabriel Hodder. Heck yeah, bring the whole crew on and we can get that interview part 2, the Primal Fear episode. Gabriel, that brings to a conclusion the end of this interview episode. This has been the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast interview episode series, the newest and most exciting sports entertainment podcast interview episode series on Rumble. Guys, I appreciate you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next one.
The realest underground entertainment, TRUE, hashtag that, true. The realest underground entertainment, your source for local music, your source for local marketing, hype, branding, exclusive experience. What do you need? What do you got? How can we help you? How can you help us? How can we help you? TRUE, the realest underground entertainment, Rilo, Tone G, Merculation, DIG, JB, Chach with the Heat. Shout out to Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J. Check out the realest underground entertainment at True Records on YouTube, at The Realest Underground Entertainment on Facebook, and at Day One Vibes, the home of The Realest Underground Entertainment.
Are you craving something sweet? Do you love dessert? Are you tired? Do you not want to drive anywhere? Do you like delivery? Do you like delivered baked goods to your door? It's the future, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get with the times and we got to get with the efforts. Catering with Grace, baked goods, delivery, and more is offering that service to you today. Call the number 361 474-3050 and inquire about information to get your graduation catered, to get your wedding catered, to get your birthday catered, to get your niece's quinceañera catered, to get your Saturday night party catered, get your Super Bowl party catered, get your Sunday game day catered. We can do it all. They can do it all. Catering with Grace, 474-3050. That is 361-474-3050.